This week we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hi, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Bibby. Next week we look to have our brother Jeff in Romans, and he may be in chapter 10 by now. He's finished chapter 9. And also we have Mark Bibby coming up in the future, continuing in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up his name, we worship him, we thank you that he is that burnt offering that we see in the Old Testament, that he gave himself wholly unto you first to do your will. We thank you that in that we received our great portion, our own salvation of our souls. We thank you, Father, for anyone that is listening that has a desire to know your word. We pray for any lost souls that are listening in their car or at work or wherever. Father, we pray that you might do a work in their heart. We pray for blessing upon the message today. In Christ's name, amen. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We were looking at a portion in 1 John chapter 2, and we were reading there when it spoke of those tares among the wheat. We are looking at 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. But over there in 1 John chapter 2, it gives a little clarification of those that may be there among the people of God. But we see here where it speaks of those who are, as we said yesterday, tares among the wheat, false professors. We see in 2:19 of 1 John, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So, my friend, we know that the gathering of the local assembly of Christians is a gathering of just that, believers. That's what we see in the New Testament. When they came together for prayer, for fellowship, for breaking of bread, for teaching. But of course, when we keep in mind the fact that there are tares among the wheat, false professors there, that remind us of the need to give the gospel out, to be clear. As we read these New Testament epistles, we see that Paul addresses the believers, but he has a lot to say to ones who may not know you as their Savior, may not know Christ as their Savior. And we can see where in his teaching of the saints, the gospel was quite clear if there was an unbeliever within the sound of his voice or reading of that letter. And we just pray that those in meetings around Randolph County that may be religious people, that may have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, would be convicted by the Spirit of God. They would turn to Christ and yield their lives to him. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So let's go on into our portion there in 1 Timothy again and look a little further into verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3. Back there, let's remind ourselves of what it says. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I have a few notes here I've been studying over and reminding myself of some necessary areas to look at in connection to this. We see in Hebrews 10:25, we see there we're encouraged not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some are. You know, when we look at the gathering of the body of Christ as just something for our own needs, well, we're forgetting that the purpose is to come together, yes, for our own encouragement, yes, for our own needs, if you will, but primarily when we do anything, we should be doing it as Christians as unto the Lord. We should be doing it to glorify the Lord. Obedience to his word glorifies him. We should come together with attitude for Christ's sake, for his name's sake. not only in what we would say a selfish manner, not just so we can get something out of it. You know, when we come, we are encouragements to others. We may not realize that, but just being there and being part of the fellowship, we are encouraging other Christians. We are giving them some encouragement, because if we're not there, you know, that's a reason for others to be discouraged, to give them, when they get into a poor situation, it gives them a situation to grasp hold of and say, well, so-and-so's not consistent there in the local assembly. Maybe it'd be all right if I wasn't either. And maybe there won't be anyone that would really miss me. And you know how the mind in our sinful nature plays upon us, and how Satan, although he cannot do anything about our souls once we're saved, he does want to see disarray in the local assembly. You think of how Elijah had that tremendous victory there in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, how he was there mocking the false prophets of Baal, and he was just making it clear that God, our God that we know, is the one true God, when he sent that fire out of heaven upon the altar that Elijah had made. But then in chapter 19, Elijah was under that juniper tree saying, Lord, take me, take my life. There was Elijah after that great victory. He was a man of God, but then he turns around and finds himself kind of depressed, and like he was the only one with problems. You can kind of picture that under the juniper tree. That's how we are a lot of times. We may be part of a great victory. We might see souls saved. We might see a good local testimony where we fellowship. We may see worship, prayer, and then we turn around and find a difficult situation, and we're maybe offended or something of that nature, and well, we're kind of like Elijah under that juniper tree. We look at ourselves and we forget the bottom line is, are we glorifying the Lord? It's not just our problems. And yes, the Lord is all sufficient. My grace is sufficient, he says. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we know that, yes, he is concerned about your needs. He is concerned about your problems, and he is there for you. But let us keep in mind that there is more to the overall picture than just where are we. We need to consider ourselves as part of the body of Christ. What if the leg decided to take a vacation from the rest of the body? Well, that's what we have in a local assembly when one decides, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I don't need to be part of the fellowship. My friend, what if your leg decided to take a vacation and decided not to be there, to be absent for a while? Anybody listening today that might be in a nursing home that has difficulties with certain areas of their body, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to function as when you were younger. And that's what it's like when part of the body of Christ is not there. They may not be someone that stands up and has a great public ministry, but if they're there, know it or not, it's an encouragement to the other saints. So let's forsake not. Let's not be those that forsake the assembling together of ourselves. So when we see this portion here, that comes to mind whenever we read about it. This portion, it speaks of how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. We need to consider this truly, not the building, but the gathering of Christians as the church, the called out ones of the living God. He's alive. Christ has died on the cross for our sins. He is raised from the dead. He is living at the right hand of the Father. And if he's alive for us, can't we live for him? The church of the living God. You know, the bones of all these false prophets of Muhammad and Hinduism and any of these people and animals and false religions, they're dead. Their bones are in the grave. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is living, has sat down at the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. So when we meet, we're meeting unto the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The living God is his church. I will build my church, said the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My friend, let us be part of that tremendous. We are positionally part of that that church. Excuse me, when we are saved, there's nothing that can be done about it. We are positionally part of that church. But my friend, the local church is the testimony of the universal church. It shows forth the gathering of Christ. It shows forth that as a testimony, and of course that's where we gain our own encouragement. That's where we come as a corporal gathering to worship Christ, to lift Him up and to glorify Him, the only one that is due to receive and worthy to receive any glory. Turn to Revelation if you have a time like Elijah and you get down and depressed, and look at all those glorious passages over there. Those tremendous passages that tell of the time in the future that John saw as he recorded of the tremendous worship. And one day, we that are saved will be there in His presence. If we're going to worship Him for eternity, we need to be willing, and we ought to have a heart wanting to worship Him together today. Look here in Revelation just for a minute, and we'll just read some of those glorious passages. We'll see in chapter 4, verse 9 or 8, it says, "And they rest not day and night," speaking of living creatures. Before that, it says, "They will be saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sit on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." My friend, we that know Christ and that serve Him in a faithful way, He will give us crowns. And those crowns aren't for our own glory, but that one day we'll be able to throw them back at His feet. My friend, when it tells us over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that we ought together and to behave ourselves in a biblical manner, together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the house of God, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, may we keep in mind it's not just here and now. One day, the faithful ones will be given crowns to cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women that are saved out there today, we don't want to be absent from having many crowns, do we, to be able to throw at the feet of Christ. Let us serve Him in His appointed way, both corporately in the local assembly and day by day, moment by moment. Let us serve Him. And as it says at the end of verse 15, speaking of the pillar and ground of the truth, we think of the true foundation. We think of the cornerstone being Christ, the chief cornerstone. You know, He was rejected when He was here. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But we know that those that know Him can glorify Him and lift up His name, because He is the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not the foundation, where would we be today in this house, if you will, of the church age? The foundation was based on the apostles and prophets, but the chief cornerstone is Christ. The scripture tells us, no foundation should man lay except that of Jesus Christ. My friend, Christ is the chief cornerstone, the pillar and ground of the truth. We'll continue our thoughts tomorrow, Lord willing. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Bibby. Thank our P.O. Box of the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry for anyone that has a comment or question that you'd like to pass on to us. It is P.O. Box 689, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Again, that's for any comments or questions. P.O. Box 689. Thank you, and join us tomorrow.